Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we talk about creation and the light of God. Let's pray. Eternal God, your Spirit inspired those who wrote the Bible and enlightens us to hear your word fresh each day. Help us to rely always on your promises in Scripture. In Jesus' name, Amen. There are two readings for today, and the one is from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, and the second one is from John chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. Both are from the NIV. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Now, while we end at verse 5, this is the beginning of the creation account that ends at chapter 2, verse 3, which I'll refer to in a while. Now reading from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. In the beginning, God creates the heavens and the earth and everything in it, so that we may have relationship with him, to know him and ultimately walk in his light. A necessary starting point for any reflection of the idea of creation is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It says, "By faith we understand that the world was created by the Word of God." This means that the biblical doctrine or teaching of creation is based on divine revelation and understood from the standpoint of faith. By faith, we see the story of creation as the record of God as author of everything that is seen and unseen for his glory. For in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 6 to 7, God says, "Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." And again in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, we read, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." By understanding God's creation activity as an exercise of faith, we may freely hold to a six-day creation story or to the understanding that the creation story does not reflect a chronological or scientific explanation of creation. Since the intention of Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is not to concern ourselves with the how of creation, but who created, namely God Almighty, so that in the end we may wonder and marvel at the God of creation and also why he created in the first place. By the Genesis account, all we see and comprehend even that which we do not comprehend, along with all we do not see, is the work of one who is almighty, sovereign, and creative beyond our imaginations. We also understand that as human beings made in God's image, our privilege is to be the focus of God's love work, in order that we might live for His glory. In addition, there was, for the first readers of Genesis, a further emphasis that lay beneath the story of creation, not easy to detect since it was a Jewish text to begin with, and that is the importance of keeping the Sabbath, something Israelite children would have been taught from the creation account. It was a call to holiness by the observance of the Sabbath as a day holy to the Lord, where God's people were to rest and God was to be worshipped. Did God really need to take a break? Was He tired out? Or was He giving humankind an ordinance as to how they should live effectively in this world? First, by honoring Him as Creator and Author of life, and second, by recognizing that proper rest is important for our bodies and minds, so that we can live God-glorifying lives. Be that as it may, we find another idea emerging in the ancient creation account, to which we turn our attention, namely the concept of light and darkness, which has great significance for us in the New Testament. This is first introduced in Genesis. In the opening verses of chapter 1, darkness goes hand in hand with that which is formless and empty, or without form and void, according to other versions like the King James and the English Standard Version. In a very real sense, the description of earth as formless and empty, cloaked in darkness, presents us with a vivid image of chaos. In the world of the Israelites, the sea represented chaos as well. So, a formless and empty earth, covered with water as an image of chaos or disorder, has very negative connotations, and along with that is darkness, with all of its negative connotations as well. Job chapter 10, verse 19 to 23, gives us an idea of how darkness was viewed. Job says, "If only I had never come into being, or had been carried straight from the womb to the grave. Are not my few days almost over? Turn away from me so that I can have a moment's joy before I go to the place of no return, to the land of gloom and deep shadow, to the land of deepest night, of deep shadow and disorder, where even the light is like darkness." And so it is that God begins with the words, "Let there be light," for light brings an end to chaos. Light brings perspective and illuminates that which is formless and empty, and is the opposite of darkness, which is really the absence of light. In the minds of the ancients, light came to signify the order that God brings to life. Light also signified His presence and favor. Light is used in connection with joy, blessing, and life, in contrast with sorrow, adversity, and death, which are all feelings, experiences, and events that are related to darkness. To some extent, then, we can think about what it means to be light in this world. We can see it as sharing the gospel, but it is more than that. It is about ensuring that our actions in this life do not result in chaos, which is a way of bringing darkness to a situation. Secondly, the concept of light and darkness is encountered in John's dramatic introduction of Jesus. Jesus is not only introduced as the Word, the Logos of God, but as the second person of the Godhead, who was present at the dawn of creation, participating in it completely, who was also the Word saying, "Let there be light." Since we read in verse 3 that through Him all things were made, without Him nothing was made that has been made. More than that, according to John, Jesus is the source of God's light that shines in the world of the Gospels and into all of the world, past, present, and future, a world that had become immersed in deep spiritual darkness and the inevitable chaos that followed that dreadful day in the Garden of Eden. and the incarnation of God the Son was as a light that shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it, or more correctly, overcome it or extinguished it, because light always presses back the darkness. The difference is that, unlike the world in the beginning of creation, a place of physical darkness and chaos, now Jesus comes to a world that is in spiritual darkness and chaos, and a new work of creation must take place. It is the creation of a new creature who is shaped by the redemptive work of the cross, brought forth by the blood of Jesus Christ, and given breath and life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Only as this new creature is humankind able to enter into fellowship and communion with God, as initially intended in Genesis. It will be a fellowship and communion that will last for eternity. This is the light that shines in the world today. And so, as we draw to a close, we see there is a close connection between life and light. For John chapter 1 verse 4 says, "In him," that is Jesus, "was life, and that life was the light of men." In the physical world, life is dependent on light. And in the spiritual world, Jesus, who is God's light, comes, and true life begins to take root in all of creation. And while humans are born from above through the light of Jesus who came into this world, creation waits for the final day of light to overcome darkness, where all that belongs to God will dwell in the light of his presence and holiness. And so how should we respond to this? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6 we read, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." In this text is the link between creation in the beginning and the new creation, between the Old Testament and the New Testament. God's light shines in our hearts, bringing an end to confusion, bringing order out of chaos, and we are part of this great work of the Spirit. We are participators with God in this great work, and to do so, firstly, we must understand where it is that we come from. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." Secondly, we need to understand what we are now. In 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 5, we read, "You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness." Thirdly, we must understand what we are called to be. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." And again in verse 16 of that same chapter, he said, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Fourth, we are to understand that life in Jesus is lived in community with others who share in the light. As such, our relationships with one another are vital. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he," that is Jesus, "is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." And finally, we must remember that while this world is full of pain and suffering, which may even be our own experience, one day when Christ returns and we share in his eternity, we will live in a world where, according to Revelation chapter 22 verse 5, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Ours, as members of this new creation, is to share this light with the world around us. And so, may God help us as we do. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that darkness is still present in this world. For many, life is darkness and gloom. But Jesus, who is the light of the world, is present with us and in us. Lord, your light calls us forth to follow and serve you. Your light still shines for all to see in this world. May we continue to reflect your light in our lives, in our service, in our words, and in our deeds. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.